Book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for bringing us thus far. And as the psalmist said, let us all praise and glorify his name. For whatever happened this year, we just praise him. Amen. We are rejoicing night and day as we, O Lord, walk in this narrow path. We hold our hands with one another together. We stand with the family of God. We sit with the family of God. We pray with the family of God. We go in. We go out. We come in. We take on our life one day at a time with the family of God. For the God of the family, he is in the midst of his family. And thank you, Lord, for abiding with us. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us to rejoice even when things go down. Even when all things that come against us, when there seems to be absolutely no way. And Lord, it is the same chance that you show to all of us that you are the absolute. And you are the only way. And you are the only one who can comfort us. Like a mother comforts the child. Like a father guides the child. You love us beyond our little mind can understand, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that there is no one we can look up to other than Thee. Amen. And there is no one who can love us more than Thee. Amen. And there is no one who can protect us better than the mighty hand of God Almighty. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for this little, small, tiny shelter, a place that we all call ourselves home. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us the weakest of all. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us the smallest of all. Because, O Lord, in our weakness, your strength is magnified. When we are small, Lord, you look so beautiful and great. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for whatever you did this year that glorifies your name. And forgive us all of us, O Lord. Forgive all of us, O Lord, for whatever we did that profaned your name. For all the shame belongs to us. And all the glory belong to Thee. Amen. All the goodness belong to Thee. All the wickedness belong to us. Amen. And Lord, if we fail Thee, if we, O Lord, betray your trust, have mercy upon us, O Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Trust in the part of the word that is in us. Our flesh is fighting against the manifestation of God's promise. But Lord, we trust in your word that is in us. And that is why, O Lord, we can beat our chest and boast in your glory by saying, greater is he who is in me than who is in the world.
Amen.
Come what may, tomorrow we will say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, we are rich, we are provided, we have everything, we are content, we lack absolutely nothing. We have children in the family of God. We have elderly in the family of God. We have young ones in the family of God. Most of all, O Lord, the one who created all of us, you are in the family of God. We shall not want anything, O Lord. And Lord, we pray that may you bless us to continue in the same contentment as we step into the new year, O Lord, this week. But Lord, the most important thing that you are looking for is, are you a new man? Are you still a new woman? Are you the new bride? And Lord, we pray, as we move on to the new year, help us, Lord, that we would not fall back as a old man. Help us, Lord, that we would not fall back as a old woman, but rather the new creation that holds on to the new covenant, to remain as the new, beautiful, young bride who is desperately, eagerly waiting for the coming of the King of Kings. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, I pray that you anoint this sermon, bless this sermon, because you are the sermon, you are the word, you are the message, and you are the preacher. And Lord, in all our shortcomings, we still believe that you will magnify and glorify your word. And Lord, may you bless this message of the last Sunday of the last year. But Lord, we can only say one thing when it comes to the word last. You are the first and you are the last. You are the beginning and you are the end. You are the one who began the year for us, and you are the one who will end the year for us. And you are the first who loved us. You will always be the last who loved us, O Lord. May you bless us, Lord, today. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. We thank the Lord that we are literally standing at the edge of the cliff of 2025 mountain. So we are all going to fall into the hands of 2026. But we are not going for a countdown to celebrate like the world do. But for us, every day is a new year. Every day is a new day. Last week, I have received so much Christmas messages to the point whereby I had to block some numbers. And what was quite surprising to me was I was getting messages from Fivefold Ministries, which was quite painful because I don't understand the context of the message. To the point whereby today the Lord was born, may you receive a special blessing. And what about tomorrow? What about yesterday? The Bible tells us it is not the birth we should celebrate. It was the death that we should remember. Not celebrate. Remember the death on Calvary. That was the only command the Lord introduced. There is nothing else. We thank the Lord. I can't imagine how the Lord separated all of us from those festival thoughts. Cutting cakes, waiting for Santa Claus. Can't imagine what we did to receive such a revelation, to escape from all those stupidity. We thank the Lord. As I said, all the territorial shield of ministries of the Lord are being compromised by small, tiny loophole or breach, as you call it. That's all it takes for a snake to enter, isn't it? You can build a 50-meter thick nuclear-grade wall. A tiny hole is sufficient for a poisonous snake to enter. A small breach. It can just bite one by one when we are all sleeping. The next day morning, no life. The Lord says, the ship that Noah built was called the Ark. But it was a ship. There was a captain who is invisible. He was guiding the ship that was also invisible. In all the invisible things, Noah was able to see what was going on. And he just took his hands off. Because Noah could see the invisible blessings of the Lord Almighty. And he called it as the Ark. Amen? Because Ark cannot be controlled by a man. You are a slave inside the Ark. The Holy Ghost is the one who rules our life. We are inside the Holy Ghost. We cannot tell the Holy Ghost, turn to the right. Who is He? Because the Holy Ghost was sent to us in His name. The name that everything that trembles. But He sent Holy Ghost in that name to us. Which means we have a token, a real chance, a very good chance to receive what He has promised. But I still call it as a chance. It is not a given or something that is
taken for granted. Because the Lord said, it is an opportunity. You finish it, you lose it, you keep it, you drop it, as you wish. It's because we are made in His image and in His likeness. So, as we are coming to the end of the year, as we were praying yesterday, the only thing we can thank the Lord for, Lord, we were all alive this year. We all got 1 year older. I don't want that this is the only change I got. I was 1 year older last year. But in the scripture, we are all getting younger and younger. Because Jesus prophesied, you should be converted to be like children. Which means, in flesh, we are going on a degeneration. We are actually, you know, growing younger and younger. But in spirit, we are growing older and older, but not beyond the marriage age. Just nice. So the fishes the Lord is going to catch when he casts the nets, the net will have a specially measured gap that all the tiny small fishes that are not grown properly will escape the net, thinking that, thank God, I escaped the net. But knowing not that was a net of rapture, a net of redemption, or the net itself is a mighty hand of God that went inside the wicked ocean of the earth to carry the bride home. Which means the fish must be grown to be able to become a prisoner to that net, which is also an ark. Like how Noah was caught like a fish inside the net, which is a big wooden ark. The Lord is not hunting the bride. Amen. He is catching the bride. Why? We are falling, He is catching. We are wandering here and there, He is searching. He is finding. If He chooses to hunt us, He can just, by the breath of an air, the entire forest can be simply burned to ashes. But He is being very careful, not destroying the vineyard, not destroying the, you know, the land that is ready for harvest, because there are weeds and tares, and they are growing together. Amen? Because the Lord wants the wheat to be completely tested, tried, before He say, thou art worthy to be harvested for my name. Because we must be worthy, because He is worthy. Without deserving something, He is not going to give us anything other than His mercy. Amen? There is one thing none of us deserve but we receive, that is mercy. And that mercy is the token of God's love. He told us when He showed the mercy to us, I'm revealing myself to thee. I'm giving my truth to thee. I'm teaching you who you are in me. I'm teaching you who I am for you. Now show me that you can walk behind me. That you can walk before me. Because the Father in heaven watching over you and the Lord Almighty is also leading you. It all happens at the same time. We are following Him humbly. But we are not showing Him that we can walk before Him. Which means He will tell us, show me you can walk. Show me that you can endure this pain. Show me that you can stabilize your spiritual life. Show me. So today, by the grace of the Lord, we will focus on the last part of this sermon series, the will of the Father in heaven. It's not going to end here. The Lord will continue with a new topic, new theme, new stream. But we will continue from where we will leave today. But what is going to be the seventh perfect ending of this sermon series? The Lord will guide us. So, as I said in the beginning, you have a lot of colleagues, relatives, even people who are not Christians. They are all sending greetings about Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. So when I see these messages, people celebrate that He was born. But what if He didn't die? Would you celebrate? Okay, let's say we are all remembering His death. Okay, let's imagine that He did not rise from the dead. What will you do? Every day is a gift from God because He resurrected. He resurrected because He died first. He was born of spirit because He did not want to prove to the people that He is who he is. He wanted to play everything within the book of righteousness. He could have come like Melchizedek, where everybody knows he fell from heaven, something like that. He can show some mighty grand things. Then everybody will submit to him. That is not the obedience of God. Blessed is he who did not see anything but believed. The children of God are expected to see the invisible things. The children of men, they lust after to see visible things. Isn't it? Show me a miracle, I'll be a Christian today. I have some sickness, heal me, my whole family will become Christians today. What, God is an insurance company? Why can't be like this? You are healthy, perfect, but if you become a Christian, you will be sick and and will die very soon. Will you become a Christian? Oh yes, I will. Invisible things. Because that person knows I can't die. It is better to fall in the hands of the Lord rather than dance in the hands of the world. Amen? So what happened to all of us? How come we are all not celebrating these foolish festivals? Even the New Year countdown. 3, 2, 1. The whole world make a firecrack and celebrate New Year. But every day, do we have the desire, am I going to be a new man tomorrow? No, that is lost. Why? The whole world is a slave in the hands of businessmen. We are all nothing but customers to them. They decide when you buy things. They decide when you spend your money. They decide what you do in the in the life today. They decide what you get. Even you are a child of God, you are still working for a Pharaoh. Isn't it? We are all working for Pharaoh. Who is the Pharaoh? The principality of the world, who tells you, this is your monthly salary, I will increase your burden. You cry to the Lord, I don't care, but this is what you will get. Oh, what if I don't give you the monthly salary next month? You suffer, I don't care. The whole world is a Pharaoh, the king of Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, and tormenting God's children by throwing them into the battle of survival, isn't it? But in all of this, how can we can sing He Abides? In all of this, we are all rejoicing. Because we have the taste of hope of eternal glory. Not the worldly hope of going to heaven. There are Christians who also invest in the big companies where people say they can bring back the dead ones. They are freezing the body. I hope you all know that. All the rich people in the world, they are freezing the dead ones of their family members because they believe science will bring them to life in 10 to 20 years' time. They believe in scientific resurrection. Very nice, right? Amazing. Thankfulness is the only answer that gives peace to my heart. Lord, thank you for yesterday. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for the last year. Thank you for the new year. It is done. I have no expectations because I know my expectations are nothing compared to what you'll provide me. Amen? Your expectation, nothing. Just do your best. Believe in good things. Be simple. Don't do anything that can make you grumpy. Don't do anything that makes you angry. Don't serve the Lord that makes you to feel like that you're dying to the point whereby the Lord is choking your neck. No, don't do any of that. Rejoice in the Lord. Do whatever the little that we can do for the Lord. And we do whatever the best we can do at our workplace, in our family, in our relatives. Keep things simple. Remember, you are a king. We are all not the slaves of Pharaoh, but kings and friends to Jesus Christ. That attitude was the focus of last Sunday's sermon. Behave thyself in the house of God because you report to the king. And he called you my friend. With failing to realize the power of who we are is opening the door for the enemy to attack us with all weapons. But when you realize who we are, you do not have any business with scratching enemy, giving you troubles in the dreams, all these nonsense things. Something is not right. Because children of God cannot be touched by enemy if they are not vulnerable to it. Something, a breach, some hole is there for someone to come and poke you and disturb you and trouble you and torment you and to make you feel that you are always in the battle of Goliath. Goliath was dead. Wake up. And even if there are some new Goliath, there is one who is coming with a stone in his hand. It is none of my business. The Lord called me to preach the gospel of peace. Amen. The ultimate goal of the flesh of you and the enemy and the wickedness of the world is to make you to lose peace. That's all. There is nothing needed to destroy us. The moment the peace is taken, my feet is not stable. I am shaky. I will be panicking. I will get angry. I will lose faith in God. I will go and search for help from men and women and people who are more powerful than me. I will rely on them. By doing so, my faith will be replaced. My love will be replaced. Everything will be misplaced. And the enemy will be celebrating with all the angels like a cheerleader. Yay! Finally, one soul is taken out of the mighty hand of God. But Jesus said, no one can take anyone from my mighty hand but you yourself. That is the reason Jesus Christ was very explicitly warning, deny thyself, behave thyself, and lose thyself, know thyself. There are four different commands the Lord said, but nobody cares about that. All we care about is, His mercy is new every morning. He loves me no matter what. I was already forgiven in the cross. That forgiveness is a premium the Lord paid. I'm fully insured forever and ever. But the Lord says, repent to me daily. Deny thyself, know thyself, behave thyself, lose thyself. The Lord says, I won't do it for you. That is why He said, thyself. I am not helping you. Amen? Why? The Lord knows you are my creation. You are not a weak, foolish creation. You are my creation. He is called the strength. He is called the wisdom. Don't we have something from Him? How can a child of a lion will become a hyena? A lion's cub will look like a lion. Amen? The Lord is reminding us, realize who you are. Understand who you are. Claim your power. Claim your promise. Do not be fooled by the world that we are failure who always need the Lord's victory. The Lord says, I am in you. Where are you searching to whom you are asking? That is the true festival for us. Lord, I woke up today. Oh, I'm still alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, keep me, provide me according to your grace. That's all. Not according to my greed. If at all I feel greedy, which I will. If at all I am very jealousy, which I will always be. But Lord, slap me. Control me. Break my leg. Break my wing. If you say that, when the enemy comes and wants to provide you so much blessing, the Lord would say, no, my son has already said these words. What he said? He said, if I receive more blessings today, don't provide. If I receive more things beyond your measure, don't provide. Did he say that? Yes. What kind of prayer is this? That kind of prayer is what the Lord is waiting for from us. The moment you said it, you are part of the word. It has become your shield. If you don't put the shield, the enemy will say, your son, right? Your daughter, right? She was asking for this, she was asking for that. The Lord cannot overpower because He is righteous. Amen? He is righteous. So I pray the Lord bless us today with the seventh part of sermon, which is something very important into our life, which is also absolutely misunderstood in many ministries because of the influence of the world is waiting for Christ in the same way Jews were waiting for their Messiah. He will come, destroy everything, will restore everything. But the world is not realizing the fact that when He destroys everything, there is a high chance I'll be part of it. So what we should do? We should simply follow what Christ said. Proclaim my death, use the power of my resurrection, and keep on waiting for my coming and call me. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Sometimes I feel very bad about myself. I don't tell the Lord, come. I don't tell this quite often. I tell this when I'm very down and I'm completely frustrated and I'm ready to see the world, whole world go crazy, and Lord, come and destroy everything. I'm not getting bonus. That was our old man. I'm keep on getting sick. Everybody is fighting against me. Oh, then all the wickedness in the world will be magnified for you, amplified for you. We'll become so righteous. Tell the Lord, come Lord Jesus, to give your judgment. That is exactly the same. James and John told the Lord, bring your fire, destroy the village. It's both the same. It's just a type of the how the bride may call the Lord in a wrong intent. But the bride should call the Lord with the divine, beautiful, holy intent, without compromising the salvation of the very last sheep. Amen? Knowing the will of the Father in heaven. Because Jesus Christ will not come until the last sheep is redeemed. So what is the will of the Father in heaven that will complete our sermon series today? Let us turn our scriptures to Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. Let's start from, as usual, let's start from the beginning and the end, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 48, let me read from verse 47, so that let us remember the flashback of David. Verse 47, it says, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Who is speaking? Your teacher, your master, your pastor, your evangelist, your prophet, your apostle, your king, your high priest, your counselor, your advocate, your creator is speaking. He's all in all. He says, if you tell me you will only salute your brethren, you will only serve your brethren, the publicans do the same. Ruling party takes care of ruling party. Opponent party takes care of opponent party. Even the evil people, they love their family so much to the point whereby they will lay their own life for preserving their life. It is also giving life. Can you simply compare it and come and say there is no greater love? That is agape. That is not agape. Philia can do the same as agape. But the difference is philia cannot glorify God. Agape glorifies God. So confusing, right? Philia can do everything exactly ditto, like a replication of agape. But it is a covering, not the pure gold. Anything that is done without righteousness, it is not acceptable to God. That is where the sacrifice is divided. Imagine there are two people. One gives his life for his friend, and another one also gives his life for a friend. If the other two friends are doing the work of unrighteousness, filled with unrighteousness, in his philia, he gives his life to another one. It is also sacrificial love. On the other side, if these two are righteous people who do the work of righteousness, if he gives a life, if you stand at the center like Pontius Pilate, for you both are same, giving life for the salvation of your friend. But the Lord would not see that way. His eyes are toward righteousness. He can't change it. He is light. In him there is no darkness. Whatever happens is darkness. It is already dead for him. We were walking dead. Those two are alive to your physical eyes. But to the Lord's eyes they were dead. Walking dead. But here they are walking alive. When one gives his life to the another, he is still alive. Because children of God cannot be dead. So how the Lord sees? This side is too dead. This side too alive. But the people see? This side two were alive. One gave life, but only one alive. This side also two were alive, but one gave life, only one alive. The Lord, too dead, too alive. Alive in Christ forever and ever more. How we can go to that side? So what is lacking to complete the missing puzzle of the will of the Father in heaven? The righteousness of the Father. But there are many branches. If we start meditating on righteousness, we can't end today. It has to be a separate whole sermon series on the single word righteousness itself. So I thank the Lord for guiding me that start with righteousness, but to complete the lesson for all of us today. So Jesus Christ speaks in Matthew 5:47, if you salute your brethren, you are nothing but a partial people, not the people of God. Jesse, the father of David, is the son of Obed. Obed is the son of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth is the daughter of Lot. Boaz is the daughter of son of Abraham. So who is David? A product of the two different family lines of Abraham and Lot. Because Abraham prayed for Lot. That's it. But the world, Abraham died, Lot died. But the prayer of Abraham, can it die? The prayer of Jesus, can it die? Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee. But the Lord died. His prayer is life. Why? Prayer is full of words uttered in spirit, uttered by spirit, uttered for spirit, uttered through spirit. And the Bible says his words on spirit are life. So, when the Lord spoke about you, whatever he spoke about you will be alive, surrounding you, guarding you, shielding you until he come and take you home. He has put a fence around you. Now, here the Lord says, do not be partial, because that is what the enemy wants you to embrace. Which is very difficult to discern. We will all feel righteous to love all of us more. But Jesus said, publicans do this. Lord, always discouraging us. He is called the one who comforts us, who gives us courage. But if you read everything that he said, he discouraged you and he absolutely discouraged your flesh. Now, he says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is the reason last few Sundays I was keep on telling, you are not perfect, we are not perfect. There is no perfect church in the world. If someone says it, they are a liar, because there is no perfect church in the whole world. That is why they are church. Imperfect. So, the Bible backs it up by saying, there is only one who is perfect, but he is in heaven. Then what about Jesus when he was walking on earth? For about 30 years, he was just a boy, growing like a teen, walking on earth. But if he is perfect, how can he be walking on earth? The scripture needs to answer us. Then why he came in flesh? His flesh is completely perfect. The Bible clearly says the Son of God tells all of us, Father in heaven is perfect. So if we all speak on the series, the will of the Father in heaven, then we are also called to speak about this. Because the Father in heaven is perfect. Then what is perfect? What is the meaning of perfect? To the people in this world, perfect means perfectionist. I do everything precise, on time. The way I prepare food, the way I do my things, like a programmed robot from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., nobody can derail me from my, you know, timely routine. That is not perfect. It is your idol. If the Lord change your routine, you will go crazy, isn't it? Which means whatever makes you go crazy, it is not the perfectness of God. Do you think Apostle Paul was perfect? He was crazy. He can do whatever the Lord wants him to do. He was ready anytime. If the Lord calls him 1 a.m., wake up and pray, can Apostle Paul say, Lord, don't you have any concern? I'm sleeping. Give me 8 hours good sleep, you see. In the morning, I'll be fully powered up. Whatever you want, I'll bring down the mountains. The Lord says, listen to what I say. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. It's okay, but you know, I have a perfect life. What is perfect life? 3 meals a day, 8 hours sleep, good health report, all green check, imperfection. Why? Anything that replaces God's work in our life, anything that replaces our dependency to God, as much as it looks like a perfect setting, it is absolutely imperfect setting. You may have no backup to live the next month. And the whole world might say, you are not perfect in the way you carry your life. But to the eyes of the Lord, there is only one Savior in your life. It is me. Good. Lord, if you don't provide me tomorrow, I can't eat. Then who is your only soul comforter? Lord, you. It may seem imperfection, but to the eyes of the Lord, it is perfect. So how we can discern? How we can draw the line? No, we can't do it. The Lord is drawing the line. Jesus said, Father in heaven is perfect. The word perfect is attached to heaven. Am I right? He did not say, the Spirit of God leading us on earth, it is perfect. No, he didn't say that. He is perfect, but he is in heaven. Then we are all imperfect. We are on earth. That is why we are called the footstool. Why? The feet is the one that always gets dirty in your body, not the head, correct? Because it is touching the dust and mud. Now, if the Lord said this, let's take a completely different example to start the sermon today. Chapter 19, verse 21. Again, the Lord is speaking, because if he says something, there is no one can argue with him. So we always hide behind him. Don't hide behind the man. Amen. Hide behind Jesus. Many people quote man, but they don't even remember what Jesus quote or what the Lord spoke. Jesus quoted what he spoke. Now, chapter 19, verse 20. So when I read the word young man, I want you all to remember you as a young bride. Amen. Verse 21. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So let's stop here. Let's go one verse at a time. If a young bride tells the Lord, Lord, I'm doing everything for you. Just look at my face. I'm beautiful, preparing myself for you spiritually. I'm providing everything as you said. I'm following all the checklist. Whatever you said, do this, don't do this. I'm just following everything very sincerely. Do I lack anything yet? The young man says, I'm perfect, right? Lord, don't you look at me as a perfect bride? It's a question he implicitly asking the Lord, a young man. And the Lord answers to him, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Two contrast examples, because Matthew 5:48 says, Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. Let's keep it there on the right hand side. Now let's bring it to the left hand side. And Jesus told this man, if you want to be perfect, because Father in heaven is perfect, whatever that you have, sell it and give it to poor. If you do so, you will have treasure in heaven. So what treasure we are all going to have in heaven? Father in heaven is perfect. And the Lord says, perfect treasure in heaven. So who is the treasure? What was the exceedingly great reward God told Abraham? I am thy exceedingly great reward. Reward is a treasure because you did not have it before. Now the Lord is speaking very deeply. Nowadays, whenever I read the parables of Christ, I see it more complex, more deeper than the teachings of Apostle Paul. Now I understand he is the teacher of teachers. He indeed did not keep himself simple. The parables, as simple as it may sound, the Lord says, the more you seek, deep calleth to the deep. I will reveal layer by layer. Because Apostle Paul was a student of the teacher called Jesus Christ. The student can never, ever outsmart the teacher. Never. Physically on earth, spiritually in heaven. Never. Now, the Lord speaking things very plainly so that people can easily digest it. Then they'll grow. Then you go and eat the same manna, it will be different. You go digest it. You go and eat the same parable, it will hit you different. It is like the rainbow color. Today purple, tomorrow red, tomorrow, you know, different colors of revelation of God. Now the Lord is not talking about the worldly charity you see today. Give money to people who are suffering and feel so righteous. But the truth is, you will die, they will die. Brother, so negative on the last Sunday of New Year. That's the truth. No matter whatever you do, you will die, they will die. Am I right? But how to do something that will never die? It has to be Him. It has to be Himself. It has to be the word that He spoke that can never die. Amen? Now the Lord says, the moment He tells His bride, because as I said, we are comparing the young man as a bride. Because every time the Bible says young, it is a type of the bride of Christ. Young man Joshua departed not from the tabernacle. That says Eve should not come out of Adam, should be inside Adam. Amen? The bride must be inside the Holy Ghost. Now this young man, the word young means ready for marriage, correct? That is why it's called young man. The Lord says, whatever you have. He did not say, whatever we have. That was the double-edged sword. Imagine I tell the Lord, Lord, I belong to you. Like how Brother Gant sang a beautiful song. I belong to you, Lord. And we say everything. Now answer me. If I belong to the Lord, if it is also my possession, if I belong to the Lord, this also belongs to Him, right? Am I right? When the Lord says, you are mine, then this also His, right? Am I right? The Lord clearly said, you are mine. So whatever I have is His. But now the Lord says, what you have. When He said that, He circumcised what this young man was possessing from his possession. The Lord says, that is not mine. Am I right? Which means the Lord says, this is yours. If I say I belong to you, and the Lord will look at whatever I'm bringing to Him. Me and what I bring. My oil. For instance, my thoughts, my intents, my ambitions, my desires, my service to God, my sacrifice to God, whatever I'm carrying to the Lord. And the Lord needs to accept it as a whole. If you don't accept it, the Lord says, take it and just leave it and come to me empty. Or that's the problem. Lord, see how cute I look like this. See? How can you see me without this? My beautiful face, my reputation. How can you imagine seeing me without this, my trophy? And the Lord says, sell it, give it to the poor. And who are the poor? So you are rich? That's the problem, right? Rich people think that they are rich and they give money to poor. It's a comedy of the year. Who is poor? The one who do not know who is Jesus Christ. He is the poorest of all. No matter how rich you are. Then who are the poor? Those who do not know the Lord yet. Then what is the thing the Lord is telling me? What you have? Sell it. Why I should sell? I can donate, right? Let's say I have some bread, and Brother Clement has no bread, he's suffering with hunger. Can I go and tell Brother Clement, you want to buy $1,000? No. If he has money, he will be eating biryani. He has no money, he is looking for a food. The Bible should say, whatever you have, give it. But what it says here, whatever that you have, go and sell. How can I sell? To whom should I sell? I can simply give it to him. Sell is written because you are purchased. Amen. That young man, the Lord is telling him, I purchased you by my blood. Then if I am purchased, I should talk about sell. Am I right? Selling, buying is called purchase. Father in heaven gave his only son for the salvation of all, for he loved the world. Not the principality of the world, but his children who are caught inside the worldly traps. He loved the world, because children are inside. He loved all of them. He gave his only son. He sold his birthright for all of us. Amen. He sold everything that he has to buy our salvation. We are purchased of him. Amen. And now the Lord says, sell. Okay, to whom to sell? Who will buy? Imagine the small little oil that I was showing you is the truth. The Lord gave it to me. I know who is Christ, my oil of anointing, my oil of joy. I know who is Christ. I know who is my Savior. And I'm keeping it. No? Hiding from everyone. Hey, my secret. Are you a Christian? You said so. I didn't say it. I'm keeping it secret. Because if I tell this, you will not look at me as the same friend as before. I'm keeping my treasure. I'm not selling it. I'm not giving it to anyone. Whatever the blessing the Lord has given you, the heavenly riches, that we are keeping it tight, will profit nothing. Why? The work of the Lord cannot be hidden. And the Lord says, go and sell it. What do you sell? The Samaritan woman, she met Christ at the Jacob's well. And the Lord says, do you know I'm the King of Kings? Or, I have never lost any battle. I was wiser than Solomon. And I was greater than, you know, many kings that you have seen. Even Moses, he was my student. I was the visible presence of God Almighty. I was speaking to Moses. Okay, Lord, I am weary. Can you give me water, please? Doesn't make sense. You said you are the glory of the Lord. You are the word of God. You are the complete manifestation of God's word. You say so many things. You are asking me water. And Satan tempted Christ in the 40 days of wilderness. And he told him, turn these stones into bread, if you can. And that Jesus was holding his weariness for 40 days. He did not do anything. But he was so weary when he saw the Samaritan woman. He knows that she belongs to him. He reveals himself to her, I am weary. Amen? Will the Lord tell the devil, you know, I'm very tired? Who is he for the Lord to reveal him to the wickedness? He won't. But the Lord will reveal himself to his own, his elect, his chosen, his bride. The Lord says, I'm weary. What the woman did? Did she keep the treasure? What is the treasure? Let's imagine this bottle has a question of the Lord. I am weary. Can you give me water? I'm keeping it. Hey, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I had an encounter with the Lord 27 years ago on April 14th, 5 a.m. You don't know? I won't tell you. Keep it. But why the Lord said that? For water? What is the water? The water from Jacob's well? Oh no. But that is what happening to all the ministries. I have the doctrine. Jacob's well, my ministry. I have the doctrine. The Lord is sitting here, my ministry. My people, my brethren. I salute my brethren. I salute no one. I love my brethren. I love no one. Saul was a Jew persecuting churches. If I hate Saul, I am losing the apostle of the Gentiles. Oh, our late apostle Richard Gann, he was from Assembly of God. If I hate Assembly of God, I lose my apostle, my pastor, who was from Assembly of God. Oh, then what is the question the Lord told me? Go and sell it. That woman went into the city and she sold what the Lord gave to her. What she said? The fountain of life sitting at Jacob's well. Go. She sold what she had. Spoke, and the word was not able to be shut in her heart. Like the book of Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord was a burning fire shut in my bones. I could not. And she testified, she evangelized, she witnessed what happened. The poor, who are those poor? Who do not know Christ, who did not know that he was sitting at the Jacob's well. So she sold everything that she had, what the Lord gave to her, and she gave everything to the poor. What happened? The poor people became rich. Why? They came to Christ. Remember this. Whosoever met the Lord at Jacob's well on that day, later, every one of them were baptized by apostles in the later stage. Everyone who listened to the sermons of Christ, they did not understand when Calvary was going on because they were not given the Holy Ghost. But they all pricked into their heart. I was standing next to him. I was listening to his preaching. How sinful I was. How stupid I was. How blind I was. How dumb I was. I could not see my Savior standing in front of me. Calvary was not just death. It was a door of repentance for many souls. Because they betrayed him. Because they betrayed Christ. Amen. If you have seen anyone in your life who has never ever broken, very stiff, never cried, very stiff, If the Lord really want to break the person, He would not send sickness, because that person would still remain stiff. Because the Bible says, those who are very strong, gnashing their teeth until the death, they cannot be melted. But the Lord will let them experience what happened to Him. What is that? Betrayal. Betrayal will melt any heart in this earth. That is why the Lord chose the betrayal as His sword to kill him. It was Judas who killed the Lord, not Goliath, not Pilate. It was Judas. Now, what is happening here? The Christ says, make sure whatever you have, I can say, you and what you have are mine. If the Lord cannot say, the Lord says, cut it off. It is better for you to enter heaven with one eye, one hand, one leg, instead of falling together with all of it. So the worldly treasures, it is not the money the world is using today to buy sympathy. I have been telling this, I will tell this again and again and again. No one can buy spirituality by the materialistic blessings that you have in this world. It is written. Not a chance, it will never ever happen. Because God's glory is immeasurable. The only thing that He will accept is you as a sacrifice to Him. But it is not happening. If you have more power, you can control. If you have more money, you can have reputation. Very easy. If you have many connections, network, you will have a lot of ways to get things done. Influences. What do you call? Recommendation. Anyone knows you, then I'll help you. Referral. Thank you a lot for reminding me. Do you have referral letters? Give me two. I'll hire you. What if I had two liars to give me some referral? You see, for all of us, there is only one referral. Amen? The Redeemer. He is my referral. The Lord needs to refer me to heaven. Because Jesus said, if you deny me, I deny you to my Father. But He is not talking about Himself. He's talking about this word of God. If you deny what the Lord spoke, I have to deny you. Because God cannot accept anything other than what He spoke. That is what verse 21 teaches. If I am a young bride carrying something that is not written in the scripture, the Lord says, go and sell it. No, don't bring it to me. So there are two things the Lord wants us to let it go. One, the heavenly blessings, the revelation, the truth, the knowledge, the goodness of God that you have, it is for you to share. You won't lose it. The more you share, it will multiply. It is a fire, it is a forest fire. And there is one more thing, which is the worldly things. Because this verse is always a double-edged sword. Amen? Go and give the vanity to the vanity. And go and spread eternity to the eternity. Am I right? Witness about me, speak about me, you shall spread salvation in me, through me. And whatever that you hold on to this world, throw it away and come back to me empty. Lose things for God to gain God Himself. Amen? If not, He is not a toy to purchase. He is the one who purchased all of us by His blood. Now Matthew 5:48 and Matthew 19:21, two contrast examples, how it can bless us to go to the next phases. Verse 22, He says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the word of the Lord could not bring him joy. I thought the joy of the Lord is strength. But he was offended. He was offended by the one who created him. He was offended by the one who lived and died for him. He was offended by the one for whom he was created. He was offended, for Jesus said something. He could not lose the oil bottle. He chose this oil over the one who made him. That is what happened to Judas. He chose 30 pieces of silver than over him. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 11. From this is where I want us to go to the righteousness first. Then from there we come back to the main theme of today's sermon. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What kind of statement it is? If it is the truth, it is rooted in righteousness. How can I hold the truth in unrighteousness? Let me take me, myself, as a worst example. Let's say I'm holding the scripture. I'm preaching sermon to you. I'm speaking the truth. Amen? Now imagine, my only intention is to make all 40 people to like me. To get into their hearts as a beloved brother. Hey, my brother Prasi. To have some sort of a clinging in your hearts and mind. To make you love me, to make you respect me. But I'm speaking the sermon. I'm speaking very precisely, not deviating from doctrines, speaking everything true. But the Lord says, you speak the truth. I know. In unrighteousness. Oh, how can I speak truth in unrighteousness? Yes, you can. Because the Lord will use anyone to preach His gospel. But the one who preaches the gospel could be doomed. Brother, scary. He is more scary than anyone. That is why it is called fear of God. The truth is, the whole world, the wickedness of the world, the evil powers, demonic powers, people who are filled with pride, power, arrogance, whatever, they still serve Him without the knowledge. Everything will be bound to what He has ordained. They will be submitting to it. They may say, I'm rebelling against God. You know, yes, by doing so, you fulfill the word of God that you will be judged to death. Oh, no one is a king to Him. Amen? Everybody is bound to Him. Everyone. That's why the Lord said, when He had ascended, seated in the throne, the right hand of the Father in heaven, the Bible says, all things in heaven, all things in earth, all under the earth, they subdued, they subject to Him. Which means without His permission, nothing can move on. Am I right? Now remember this. Now you read this again. Now the Lord says, verse 19, those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, the only scriptural reason why the Lord allowed different churches to exist, different denominations to exist, is because even in their mistakes, there are innocent, beautiful, humble, sincere, hungry souls are being saved. Salvation is going on in every denomination. You cannot deny that. We can't simply say they are wrong. God forbid. We could be blaspheming against the Lord. We can never say that. The Jews, they don't accept us. That because of that, we are not better than them. We are all separated by time, grace. When you look beyond time, the Lord who is beyond time, He don't see the way we see. We are all in the fish tank of time. Fish is running here and there. But the one who built the fish tank standing like a king, watching from past, present, future. You keep on moving here and there. To Him, he sees things in the dot, which is His will. Amen? Now, the Lord says, reminds us here, manifestation is not just a good word. It is also a bad word. Last Sunday, the sermon itself is called manifestation and justification. Because God's word is a double-edged sword. Look at the next verse. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. What does it mean? Those who hold truth in unrighteousness, whatever the Lord spoke about Himself will also manifest in them. Now we need two good examples. So I take myself and Brother Zoyal. So now I'm standing here on the right side of the Lord's crucifixion cross. And Brother Zoyal is on the left side of the crucifixion, the cross. Now, center, the glory of God is there. Our Lord and Savior, our Master, He's there. Now, He has two manifestations. One, the wrath of God manifests in unrighteousness, which is judgment. Amen? Then, the love of God, the mercy of God manifest is in His children who humbly surrender. And Razoel says, Lord, You are the Son of God and I believe it. And the mercy of God, the love of God, the salvation of God manifest in Razoel. The Lord take him home. On the other side, I am holding truth in unrighteousness. I am speaking, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If I say that, He will save me. This is the beautiful, beautiful holiness of God. If I say that, I will become an apostle. Oh, all these disciples of Christ, John, Mary, everyone, they are all my good friends. I know them very well. I had dinner with them. I also speak truth. I speak 12 apostolic foundations. But I am doing everything with a deceitful, selfish, personal ambition, dishonest gain that the whole world may not see. But the Lord, I am naked. To Him, I am naked. My thoughts are sounding brass to Him. Truth in unrighteousness. Ignorance will be forgiven. But cunningness, I'm so sorry. Cunningness is the seed that grows into rebellion. Well-established cunning thought. That is why Satan is called wickedness. Well-established cunning thought. Working for days and months and years to bring someone down. It takes a well-established, you know, evil thought. Evil thought. Truth in unrighteousness. If the Lord wants every single ministry across the whole world, whoever was not called by Him in His Spirit, if He tells them to step down, do you think they will step down? Do you think? They won't. Hey, 20 years of my life, how can I go and tell people it's all lie? They won't. But He will come. When He comes, whatever the Lord spoke about Himself will also manifest in them. What does it mean? Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 14 says, God is the judge and He is a consuming fire. Verse 29. That is also something spoken about God. That will manifest in them. Who are them? Not the people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then what is that fire? Remember, when Korah rebelled against Moses, there are two different types of death. Do you remember? Those who are with Korah, the earth devoured them. He became dust, part of dust. First step. There were 250 people who chose to stay their support with Korah. Alliance, they pledged their alliance with Korah, 250. But them, they were not devoured by earth. The Lord sent fire. Why? Because they were actually offering strange fire to what Korah was preaching to them. It is a type of death will be destroyed, and those who are preaching death with a falsehood, false doctrines, false intents, by abusing, misusing people, deceiving people, they also offer a strange fire at their respective altar. Imagine those 250 are representing 250 churches, ministries, pagans, other heathen religion, whatever, across the whole world, but deceiving people. The fire represents judgment. That going down represents death will be destroyed in the lake of fire. The book of Revelation was a type that is beautifully shown in the times of Moses, because Moses represents God Himself to the people of Israel as a type, because Joshua was in between, Aaron was in between, like those who stand in the gap to intercede. What is this to do with this particular verse? Because the next verse says, for the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. His eternal power and Godhead is made manifest, the Lord revealed. So that they are without excuse. Nobody can say, the Lord did not give me a chance to understand Him. The Lord said, I am the provider. I give you every chance. You ignored it. You chose to forsake. You never seek me. There is an inherent hunger and thirst in a child, when a child was born, what is it? To drink milk. Who taught the child? No one. The child has to go to kindergarten to learn to seek milk from the mother. It is inside the child. That is why seed of God will manifest with or without anyone. There was no preacher to Saul. It was the Lord himself who preached to him, Saul. And he said, Lord, here I am. Salvation comes from the one who is called the salvation. Not from men, not from women, not from minister, not from ministry, not from anything. It has to be from himself. The salvation. He is called the salvation. Now, here the Lord says, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. It's a very contradictory statement. You said they know God, okay, but they did not glorify him as God. I know the truth. I did not do justice to know the truth. I knew his love. I did not do anything to justify that love. I received the revelation, but I did not do anything that is beautiful to know that revelation. They know God, but they could not glorify him as God. But they know that he is still God. Answer me, the enemy believes in God or not? He knows. He knows that there is God. He is not fighting the spirit of God. Amen? Remember this. He knows. He knows his level. He is not fighting the spirit of God. He is fighting the manifestation of the spirit of God. Because manifestation has to be done in flesh. He is fighting that manifestation. He's trying to stop that. And in stopping that, the Lord is making this as an exercise for the bride. If you want to become strong, you have to carry weight. The burdens are making you stronger. The valleys are making you wiser. The long sufferings are making you patient. Calm down. Adversary is your physical fitness, what do you call? Fitness instructor. He throws stones at you so that you can stay awake. You won't go to spiritually, you know, sleep. Everybody is a servant to God. One glorifies, one profanes. Now, what the Bible says here is neither were thankful. That is why I was telling today when we started the sermon. Are we thankful to God? For today, for yesterday, for the whole year, and for what is about to come. Come what may, the new year. Are we thankful to him even before we feel thankful? Thankfulness is not bound to time. Thankfulness is bound to eternity. Remember this. People who believe in God, that thankfulness is bound to time. Lord, I thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for tomorrow, thank you for good health, time. Lord, I thank you for who you are. That is eternity. I may change, I may die, but what I said is pointing to eternity. You hit the bullseye. Whatever we say should hit the eternal promise of God, which is beyond time. And now the Lord says, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise and they became fools. I love this verse. I tell this to myself every time. Amen. Professing yourself that you are wise, you are a fool. There is one more verse. If anyone remember, the Lord hath chosen the foolish things of the world to put the wise to shame. The Lord says, it is better you deny yourself. Amen. You put your wise to shame by yourself. Both the verses are same. If I profess someone, some myself as wise, we tell the Lord, Lord, you are wise. I know that. Just stay quiet. He is wise, Lord. I am wise, Lord. There is only one wisdom. There is only one wisdom. And there is only one who is perfect. And he is in heaven. Because he is spirit. Spirit is perfect. Flesh is imperfect. Until we receive glorious body. That is spirit-filled body that is not running by blood, but alive by spirit. Until then, we are imperfect. If we don't accept it, then we do not know who we are. Imperfect, if I give some space between I am and the perfect, you will say, I am perfect. A small space, right? Single word, a small space. Let me give some space. The whole scripture is full of, you know, very heavy. Let me tear down one single paper. And now, imperfect become, I am perfect. See? Good, right? small compromise making me to dance between life and death. Small compromise. Now, he says in verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, unto birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, suddenly this brother is moving from God, man to beast. I have to. Because Apostle Paul speaks something very deep about this particular manifestation. Let's turn our Bible to chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 19 to 21. God, who cannot be corrupted because He is spirit and perfect. Men who can be corrupted because we are also in spirit but in the prison of flesh. Now, the Lord speaks something very harsh against Israel. So as Gentiles, let's humble ourselves. Yes. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Do you see? Today, you can see. The Lord says, you think that you are so wise, you are so, what do you call, indispensable, full of armies, full of power. You know, the big elephant, very strong, if a tiny ant enters into its ear, it will go crazy, it will fall from cliff and die. But the ant will come out unharmed, because ant can carry 13 times heavier weight than its body, but elephant cannot. A big size flesh can be killed by a small little ant. Correct? And the Lord is telling people of Israel, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you, to see whether you get angry or you rely on me. But they were angry. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I love the way book of Isaiah is glorified. Not Isaiah. Isaiah did not say, hey, my name is Prophet Isaiah, I am very bold. He did not say that. All the servants of God, they were grounded, rooted by humble, by His love. But the Lord glorified them. Moses, my servant, humble. John the Baptist, there is no man who is born of a woman who is greater than him. Isaiah, of a great prophetical ministry. The Lord said that after he died. And now he says, Isaiah was said is very bold, because by saying this, people could kill Isaiah. But he still said that. What he said that? I was found of them that sought me not. That is the story of Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, I was found of them that seek me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me, you and me. Did you seek the Lord? Be truthful. He found you. Even those who are born in this ministry, even before you were formed in the womb of your mother, the Lord has found you, made you fearfully, wonderfully, that you will be found here. All of us are found. We were lost. Once I was lost. And Isaiah says, I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. Verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What is this gainsaying people? Holding truth in unrighteousness. Can happen to anyone. People can use the name of God to take revenge against enemy by quoting scripture. The Lord says, gainsaying people. They say my name, but they have a dishonest gains behind that. So how do you discern the children of God? How do you discern the ministries of God? Ye shall know them by fruit. You should see nothing but Christ. You should need no one by Christ. You should see no other name glorified other than the name of Christ. We will have a very interesting series when we begin the new year by God's grace. Uncovering, unfolding, exposing is the last stage of bride before you become a caterpillar. Hey, butterfly, Oh, heard it right. A butterfly can go back to a caterpillar stage. Caterpillar can go to a butterfly stage. Backsliding or moving forward can happen. Now, the Lord says from the book of Romans, a powerful book, a letter Apostle Paul wrote, that gainsaying people are not in the will of God. Are we gainsaying church? We should never be. Amen? What if we do everything to please other ministries, other ministers, other brethren across, other religions across? And the Lord says, what is your gain? Lord, we want to be exalted. We want everyone to say, you are the best ministry man. If the Lord tells us, embrace my shame, we should embrace the shame. Amen. If the Lord allows come people and spit on your face, you stay still and know that He's God. In love. Ready to serve them. That is Apostle Paul. That is Stephen. That is Peter. That is who we should be. Ready. Without compromising the word of God. Ready, but without corrupting the word of God. Now, this needs the word righteous perfection. Righteous perfection. When I wrote the title today morning, Perfection and Redemption, I still did not feel right. Something is missing. Lord, tell me what it is. I am unable to find stability, you know, in the thought. Because there are so many perfection. Physical perfection, mental perfection, spiritual perfection, financial perfection. Oh, it will be misunderstood terribly. I said, righteous perfection. Narrowed down to one single perfection that is acceptable to God. Righteous perfection. Now, let's go from here. Why this is what we are all focusing today. Last book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 26-27. 26-27. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The previous verse said, disobedience, gainsaying people. And this verse, Apostle Paul finishes the letter by saying, everything was made manifest, but don't forget, don't you take it for granted, these secrets were only revealed to prophets of God in the Old Testament. Remember, what God spoke to Daniel, He revealed to you. Who are you and me? We are nowhere in the league of Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses, Aaron, David, Joshua, Joseph. They all lived their life for Christ, the anointed, for God's Spirit. But who are we? Why the Lord revealed everything to us? Because resurrection unleashed the blessings to be upon every one of us by the power of Holy Ghost, who can lead us and guide us in truth. In the Old Testament, if the Lord revealed the same revelation to people, they will be ruled by pride, power, arrogance, selfishness. They would have become evil. The Lord knows they can't handle it. He needs the Comforter to be sent for us to be handled by the Comforter. It is very important. Because many ark of the Lord have become a luxurious cruise ship. They still call it as ark. A big name, Noah's ark, but you can see many chief captains, big, you know, missiles everywhere, looks like a warship. Ark of Noah was empty, plain like a dead coffin, sealed in and out. No fancy stuff, no attraction, nothing. Looks very foolish. But inside, all life. All wisdom. But today, all looks like a big US-China warship. So much decorations, so much swimming pool, luxurious, everything. But big letter, Noah's Ark, plain and simple. Truth in unrighteousness. Now here, 27, it says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This is how we should learn to speak about Godhead. I encourage all the brethren, remove the word and from your mouth when you speak about Father, Son. You see how Paul speaks. to God who is in heaven, all glory, through Jesus Christ. He is not separating the manifestation of God who is Spirit, the justification of God who is Spirit. He is not separating. He is keeping the word in, by, through, for. In these four words, there is Godhead. Although we speak English, we should still respect the Lord uses this language to spread His gospel across. Although it is not the original language of what it was written. But you see, God in Christ Jesus. Amen. In the glory of God. We are all created for Christ Jesus, for Father in heaven. Not separating. The moment you separate, those who are struggling in Trinity, those who are struggling in 2-in-1, those who are struggling in 3-in-1, they will be justified by you without your knowledge. Father and Son and Spirit, cut and cut and cut. Glory of God in Christ Jesus. Speak like Apostle Paul, because that is how Godhead must be proclaimed. If you put the word "and," I'll give an example. Last Sunday I mentioned, when the Lord spoke, if someone keep the word of God, do his testimonies, do everything according to the righteousness of God, the translation says, I and my Father, we will come. Correct? That is how it is written by the hands of men. But now, if we speak like the apostolic faith, how do you read this? I, in my Father, will come. I said the same thing, but I removed the word "and," I removed the word "we," because I believe in one true living God. God was manifest in flesh. I, in my Father, it is different than I and my Father. How can you separate the glory of God from God? How can you separate the visible presence of God from God? You can't separate. This understanding is where we are rooted. Godhead, which is God was manifest in flesh. Amen. Justified in spirit. Amen. We stop it there and we speak about that. We do not try to justify people. You are fighting with me. Okay. Let me go and read some books and come back to you. No. It won't work. You cannot gain people by gainsaying. Amen. You let people to be revealed to themselves that they are children of God. How do you do that? Speak like the apostle spoke. We stop it there. If somebody says, can you explain better? You say, I am a fool. I am sorry. Escape. Amen. Go on street. Get some good rest. Eat some good food. Don't waste time. It is going to happen very much as we move forward. Because our grace will be stolen by the wickedness. Our peace will be attacked by the wickedness. We should not give room for unfruitful, completely unprofitable time. That is why David said, blessed is he who sitteth not in the seats of scornful, because you despise grace. Let us learn to choose our battle. Amen. Now, from Romans, we go to 1 Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. He'll be angry if he listens to me. But he knows there is a way for us to keep ourselves humble. Because we all denied Christ much, much more than Peter. He is still the least compared to us. We denied Christ countless times. We found mercy. Chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. This is the definition of perfection. To God who is in heaven, who is perfect. Without spot, without blemish. We can't do it. We are not that level. That is why I am breathing today. I am 1 day older today. Because I am not there yet. Until the Lord takes me home, I am not there yet. After He takes me home, I am there forever. Amen? That's all. But until He takes us home, let us remember, there is a work left in me. Not in others. Not in others. That is none of our business. There is work left in me. And we are all the family of God. We serve the Lord, sing songs, encourage, edify, speak and do and believe in all good things. the Lord will guide us. Without corrupting the word of God. Verse 20 says, who verily, that is Amen, was ordained, verily, verily, before the foundation of the world. I love the word nowadays, verily. Because sometimes when I'm shaken by some unexpected storm, without even thinking, I will feel this confidence. Verily, verily, the Lord told me, He will take care of me. Okay. Without knowing how to solve it, when this will disappear, how I'm going to face it, those are all secondary. But the Lord says, verily, when He said verily, it's a very strong command from God. Verily, which means earth, heaven, everything subject to Him. He said, verily, He protects His own. Tell yourself, verily, verily, the Lord told me, He protects me. Then you will feel the peace. Then face the battle with that peace, not with your actions. Amen? The peace is more powerful, my dear brethren, and that is where the sermon is leading to us. It's more powerful than your words, your thoughts, your actions. The peace is more powerful. Now, here it says, verse 21, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now you have to find the answer I questioned you before. If Jesus Christ was walking on earth for 33 years almost, if God the Father in heaven is perfect, Jesus said, Father in heaven is perfect. He said, He pointed to the heaven. He is not pointing to me. But now it says, He raised Him from dead and gave Him glory. Do you see the sequence? It did not say, He was with glory. When He died, He got His glory back when He resurrected. No. It is very clear, the power of God gave the power of resurrection to Christ, and He was glorified when He seated at the right hand of the Father. It is an event that rewrote the history of our life. That is the event that rewrote our life in His mercy. If He did not sit in the throne, if He was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, when there was temptation to unleash His power, to show who He is, you and me are not here today. And the Lord showed all of us that He was not a gainsaying God. He was a Savior who saved His soul who are lost. If He chose to be a gainsaying Lord, He could simply control all of us with His power. No. He wants all of us to subject to His love, not to His power. Amen? It's two different things. It is lost in many places now. Power replaced love. Here the Lord says, because of that, your faith and hope might be in God. Faith and hope might be in God, not in man, not in the church, not in the ministry, not in the society. In God. And in that God, your family is there. Priority. Now, 2 Thessalonians is what I wanted to start the sermon, but the Lord guided me to all these different rivers to come here finally. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 to 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 to 5. What an apostle, Apostle Paul was. He finished what Jesus had purposed. Similar to what David purposed, Solomon finished. That's why he's the first apostle for the Gentile age. Verse 4. That we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. This is the glory Apostle Paul is boasting. Persecutions, pain, shame, reproach, long-suffering. This Apostle Paul will never do good if he lives today. Maybe he'll have a church of 12 people, maybe less than that. He would not do good, I'm telling you. Nobody would like him. Why? He was not about increasing his fan base. he was about filling the heaven. Correct? Fan base is the fandom of the world. But kingdom of heaven, only the true servants of God can bring the true bread of Christ to go and fill the seat. The marriage of the Lamb has an invitation. Amen? And that invitation is the calling of your life to be a bride of Christ, to go and be part of that marriage. Now, here, Apostle Paul says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. That is why, by God's grace, this is the sermon title today. Righteous judgment of God is not my focus. Righteous, perfection. If I do, I will end up in seeing glorious redemption, not any redemption. That is the reason why the Lord did not give me peace when I thought I'm going to speak on perfection and redemption. Because redemption is misunderstood as if God is coming to save people who are dying, as if God is coming to save people who are going to hell and bring them to heaven. But there is no glory in that. He is not a police officer. And perfection, as if we are all trying to be better in doctrines, to be well versed in Bible, and tell ourselves that I'm a child of God, faithful follower of Christ, this and that. That is not perfection. There must be righteousness in my perfection. And there must be a glorious event, manifestation in my redemption. Because glory represents the Spirit of God. Amen? Glory always represents Spirit of God. And righteousness always represents I am who I am. Because before he became a savior to all of us, he told Abraham, I am your reward. But before all of that, the eternal Holy Spirit, he is always righteous. If he was not righteous, Lucifer cannot fall from heaven. He was righteous. He is righteous. He will forever be righteous. He cannot change. The word righteousness is the closest to understand who is God. He had to show mercy because we fall. If not, what is mercy? Why there is need to be mercy? If everything is perfect, there is no need of mercy. But if there is an imperfection, then there is a need of mercy. Mercy is a result of our imperfection. Amen? If not, why there is need to be mercy? Everything is good. Then righteous perfection, glorious redemption. So how to get it there? Because Apostle Paul says, manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. It is a token. So I start right by one. The very first word, perfection, you and me, we received a token. Because we are all going to be judged. Nobody is escaping judgment. But there is a good news. We all can be judged to life. That is what is our calling. Judged to life. Judged to be with the judge. Or judged to death. To be destroyed in death. No, we don't want that. Now, the Lord gave a token of a righteous judgment. The Lord says, make use of it. And Apostle Paul says, ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also dance, full of pride, rejoice, exalt, full of power. Ye also suffer. The mystery is here. So token, number one. Number two is, there is a mystery that is suffering. And that suffer is not pain, but Apostle Paul calls it as a beautiful word, counted worthy. That is perfection. Am I being counted worthy? Because thou art worthy. So he's counting. If David counts, David commits sin. If God counts, nobody can question him, right? So let's be silent. But God is counting. Every drop of the tears of the righteous people of God, God counts that. He is not counting how big his congregation is. He is counting the righteous tears, righteous service. He is counting those words. Counting means not numbering. Taking it into account. I accept. If the Lord accepts it, then it is counted worthy. Then, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing, with God to recompense revelation to them that trouble you. And Apostle Paul is tempting. If somebody mess with you, don't worry. God will destroy them. When I read the verse, Lord, your words are confusing me. Which means if somebody tortured me, you will judge them. It's a double-edged sword. Really. It will make you feel like you are, you know, someone very powerful. God is taking care of you. No. He will simply throw you as a lamb to be sacrificed. That is your power. Because when you are being stoned to death, you will be singing song, He abides. Nobody can do that. You can do it. I can do it if He bear witness with me. That is a true power. The word of God can always confound us. Amen. We are not powerful on earth, but we are powerful in heaven. Amen. We are all powerful in spirit, but weak in flesh. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. Because Apostle Paul says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Don't worry. Wait for the grand opening ceremony. He will come. Now, from here, let's go to Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16-22. The book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's letter of apology to the school teacher for worshipping Astaroth and following thousands of women, forsaking the Lord's wisdom and goodness. Solomon learned wisdom in his fall. And his words are always echoing with Apostle Paul. That is why I bring them together. I see Apostle Paul's writings in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you see it closely. Chapter 3, I continue from where Paul wrote. You will feel as if they are from the same chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. So I write the word place. Token and a place. There is a place of judgment. A place of judgment. God tells Abraham, go to the mountain and sacrifice your son Isaac in that place. There was a place reserved. A physical place reserved. He says that wickedness was there and a place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. So, there was a place of wickedness, place of righteousness. Amen? We should know where do we stand. Token and place. Remember this. From here we will go to redemption. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and wicked. That's exactly what Apostle Paul said. But he said to us very clearly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? I'll tell you one good example. Today, we are all thinking that we are ministry in the truth, by the grace of God, mercy of God. And there is a big denomination out there, profaning God. That is Sunday, 28 December 2025. But tomorrow, all of us can be that denomination, and that denomination can be the apostolic ministry. If you tell me you are wrong, we should learn from scripture. Every day is God's mercy that we continue the same from where we left yesterday. If not, we will be someone in no time. And that someone will be the mighty servant of God in no time. And that uncertainty should keep us humble. That should be the thorn in the flesh for all of us. That the Lord is the only certain blessing. That is what Ecclesiastes says. He says, for there is a time for every purpose and every work. That is why it is called righteous judgment. The Lord has a time for everything. And a purpose for everything. Because towards the last gasp of breath, that rebellious man can become the most humble man that you would ever see. And that most humble man can become the man full of pride and arrogance. It can change over a flip of coin. And the Lord waits for that moment to reveal the true version of who we are. It is very important to be dead to that cross every day. Amen? Now, next verse says, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. That is why I read the word beast in the book of Romans. Befalleth men befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea, they have all one breath. I am reading verse 19. Verse 19 says, as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea, they have all one breath. Now read verse 18. Verse 18, I said mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them. This verse really shook my heart, that they might see that they themselves are beast. What? Where I can see? The mirror of the word of God can tell the beastly nature that we have for us to circumcise by the repentance of God. Because the serpent in nature is beastly, isn't it? Jumping on brother Abel and kill him, that is the work of some beast jumping on a deer or some other animal for food. But Cain did not even eat Abel. He was not looking for food. He simply killed him because he didn't want to see him. That is jealousy. But that thought animals don't have. You can't see an animal, you can't see a lion killing a deer because he doesn't like the face. It kills it because it needs to still stay alive. At least there is a reason. Survival. But this one is greedy, jealousiness. It is not of God. And the Lord says it is worse than a beastly nature. And he says, for that which befalleth the sons of men, when the angel in the heaven, the mighty angel, fell. The Bible says fell as mightiest angel. Now the Lord changed the name. When we fall from glory, our name will change first. The name changed from the mighty angel fell from heaven as Satan. Correct? There was a name change. The same way, the sinful serpent and nature of the bride, we release from those nature. The bride will ascend to heaven with a name change. And this time, the name is written on your foreheads. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen? That is a name change in falling and also in rising. And he says, verse 20, and all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Story of Korah. It's a type of what happens to death. Death will eat death, and together they will die. Because the Lord will destroy the death together. And verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? What spirit it is? Upward, downward, verse 22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? What a powerful question from the king. When we start to enjoy our own works, you form towers of Babel, city of Jericho, Sodom and Gomorrah, all the groups of Sadducees and Pharisees against the work of the Lord. If Apostle Paul chose to promote himself, he could have become like a king in the whole region, because he knows what's going to happen. He could make some gainsaying profit of his ministry, isn't it? You could sell your gift. Do you know that? You could sell your gift. If you are a good speaker, that doesn't mean that you are a good preacher. But you can use your speaking skills to make money. Easy one. Pretty easy. I know all 40 of you. I know someone has health issues, someone has family issue. I can come and speak something emotionally just to touch your heart and you will love me. Pretty easy. That is the work of the devil. Let the Lord's hand be the only thing that touches the heart of a man. Amen. Now, let's read few verses. I haven't even entered into the sermon. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10. We know John is called the beloved. It's not that he is the only beloved. He's a type of us who is the beloved. Amen. Now John, he talks about perfection from a different angle. I ponder over the life of this man. He had to see the death of all his friends, including his master. Why? He had to see all the tragic news of his fellow apostles. The Lord kept him. until the very last stage. How he was waiting. It's like Moses saw the death of Aaron first, but Aaron is the elder one. After Aaron died, Moses still had to continue. Why? The Lord was testing Moses. Who is your friend? Can you walk without Aaron? Show me. The Lord was testing everyone, my brethren. The same way he tested Isaac and Abraham. He's testing everyone. Now the Lord says in this chapter through John, he says verse 10, chapter 3 verse 10, concerning the word perfection, in this children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Why he combined it together? Which means doing righteousness is loving my brother? Of course, yes. It means doing righteousness is stand with the family of God? Of course, yes. Doing righteousness is go down and come up with your loved ones, whether it is storm or sunshine? Of course, yes. Not me. John the Beloved is saying, to whom the revelation was given in the island of Patmos, not to anyone else. Because he knows. If I love my fellow apostles, there is one who still tops me. He loves them more. If he allowed, who am I? It's okay, let's wait. He had a revelation to receive that revelation. Counted worthy. Amen? I'm telling you, John was counted worthy. If not, the 11 apostles can complain to God. Lord, you know your book says you're righteous. Nobody can complain to God. Everyone deserved that place after the mercy was shown. But the mercy, we did nothing to deserve it. Amen? Now, he says, same book, we continue from here. Chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. It says, little children, it is the last time. 1 John 2, verse 18. Yes. The last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Come on. Come on, John. You are just 60, 70, 80 years old, marching towards 90 years old to get the revelation in the island of Patmos. He is telling there are many Antichrists now. Which is 33 AD, maybe 60 AD, 70 AD. You mean Antichrist now? He says now, right? Apostles cannot lie. My brethren, remember this. Apostles cannot lie. They cannot lie. When he said now, it is now. The moment Christ died, the moment he resurrected, already there are plans going on to make him and build his name as the biggest brand ever. To make business. You can see it now, right? Every state they have a branch. It is there. Not just them. There are many use the name of Jesus without a single fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is the work of Antichrist. The work of Christ will manifest the fruit of Christ. Christ means anointing. Now, Apostle John warned this even before the first church age began. How come he won this? He saw it. He could see the work of what going on to destroy the work of the Lord. All that John needed to do is to speak because he was an apostle. Words of life. Now 2000 years later, we are all speaking what he said. Because he spoke the words of life. Now what he says, you see how applicable to us today. Verse 19, they went out from us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They did not come against us. Surprise. What? John. Come on, man. Went out from us, which means you are keeping him. The betrayer came from outside or from inside? Inside. Let's don't go further. Lucifer, was he inside or outside? Inside. The one who was close to God is the one who rebelled against him the most. Familiarity. They went out from us because they thought they know better. And John says, for if they had been offers, you see how he speaks. I love this word because I put myself there. What if it is me who leave the apostolic faith? He speaks, if it had been for us, of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. No doubt. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Who did this? Who pushed Lucifer down from heaven? Michael? Gabriel? Let me tell you. If they are the one pushed him down, all three would have fallen together because God is righteous. But Gabriel and Michael, they loved one another because they are in the presence of God. That is why when Michael had a chance to rebuke the enemy, Michael says, the Lord rebuke thee, not me. Who am I? Mighty Archangel Michael humbled himself. But you see what happens today? Oh my. The way they rebuke the whole wickedness, whole wicked places, everything, so power. I was like, Michael the Archangel told the enemy the Lord rebuke you. Because Michael knows his place. They are humble, irrespective of how powerful they are. That is why the Lord keep these two anointed trees with him. They counted worthy to be with him. They are not tested like us. But they also learn from what happened to Lucifer. Isn't it? A lesson taught all of us. Now, the Lord says, verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, perfection has two more components that we should never forget. Election, that we know, elected, chosen, sometimes we brag about it. But there is a word called unction of the Holy Ghost. That is challenging. Many can be, say, elected. But the unction of Holy Ghost is the seal that you are the few, which we have to earn it. So what he says for that? Verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. Because ye know it, that no lie is of the truth. Apostle Paul says, I'm not teaching you doctrines. You know it. But I'm reminding you, let there be no lie. Amen? Let there be no breach. Let there be no hole for the snake will enter. No lie. No compromise. If we compromise to please one another, we will please one another, but we will grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen. The unction will leave. When the unction is gone, there is no glory. Amen. Now, John reminded, the perfection is impossible without love, which is what we see here, because he clearly said. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Chapter 7, verse 20 is a reminder for all of us why we are subject to judgment. We cannot simply say that I'm totally out of it. No one is indispensable. 7:20, remember the verse King Solomon says, reminds us, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I accept it is me. I am in that verse. We are all in that verse. That is why we need him. He is called Savior. Now, the perfection needs so many things. Fruit of the Holy Ghost to manifest, but I'm not focusing on that. But I'm focusing on key words that can ring a bell to our heart. A token and a place, suffering, counted worthy, election, unction, love. But what is next? What he says, no one is just. No one is doing good. No one is escaping from sin. That is why God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap. I found many people, no one. Why he said that? We have to continue from Philippians chapter 3. So now I'm going to go through a series of verses so that I cover the essence of what we meditated today. Let's go on a series of Bible verses first so that we read it together. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Attitude of a servant of God. Whatever it is not under your control, leave it and look at the things that are in your control to do things better. Move forward. Because you can do something, make a change. If you can't make a difference, then don't be there. Because you are a useless spectator. God does not like spectators. We do something where we are the players. Amen? Participants. Because we are a clay in the hand of the Lord. He's always squeezing us, molding us. Amen? Move forward. It is a critical element for perfection because he says, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I told you, he never separated them as and. If you see the word and, someone who translated, they introduced the error. In, for, through, by, four words of Godhead should come from the lips of the bride of Christ all the time. Amen. In Christ Jesus. The verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Mind is a precious asset, a gift of God to you from heaven. Remember your mind. It is not visible to you. It is not my skeleton and my brain. My mind is something I can't touch it. It is inside, a closest thing to feel my spirit. The mind. Our mind. Blessed is he whose mind is stayed on him, trusted him. My mind. It's just my thought process, you know, my intellect. But it has no weight. It's just something, some power inside of me. I can think. I can counsel. And the Lord says, make sure all those who speak the same truth have the same mind. Why? The truth is the language of your mind. Amen? If there is divisions, one of the mind is wrong. That's all. There is no compromise. There is no way two can be right, can still be divided. One of them is wrong. Me wrong or you are wrong. Let's say I am wrong. Then forgive, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. But the mind has to be reconciled. If it is not reconciled, something is compromised. And that compromise is holding truth in unrighteousness. That is why this word cannot be separated from perfection. I can't be perfected without righteousness. No compromise. Now, there are so many verses, so let's choose the important ones for today. James chapter 1 verse 4. This is something people always underestimate, but it is a most powerful tool for perfection. And you'll be surprised what it is. James chapter 1 verse 4. It says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience, on the most painful and the most challenging for our all flesh. Patience. I write it in red because it's like a heartbeat. For some, it is extremely fast. Some, it is extremely slow. But the balance is patience, which is I have to wait to see the will of the Lord when he saw the work. Until then, how can I wait? Patience is a sign that everything is working properly in your house. Patience is God's way of measuring you that everything that he taught you, it is working together in you. It is a sign. It's a sign. It's a beautiful sign that God always you look up to. Am I patient? I'm not. But I'm peaceful. Doesn't make sense. How can I be peaceful but not patient? So, James says, perfect work is a fruit of patience. Why he said that? Let's ask him again. Same book, chapter, same chapter, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. So there are two gifts, my brethren. I'm not joking. There are good gift and there are perfect gift. I'll tell you the most painful lesson for all of us. We always ask for good gift. But we don't ask for perfect gift. Let's say this is good gift. Red pen and blue pen. But the Lord says this is perfect gift. Lord, good gift. If this doesn't work, I can use it right. It's better. Better is not perfect. Lesser may be perfect. That's why the Lord says, don't be a gainsaying people, be willing to lose. Be a people who is willing to lose. Now, good gift, perfect gift. So what is the next twist here? Perfect gift came from heaven, because who is in heaven? The Father. Good gift is what all the ministries are looking for, ambitions. But perfect gift came from heaven. But God is good. There are so many good things. But I pray that we all seek the Lord. Do what is perfect to thy sight. When you say that, you are hitting the bullseye. Lord, I'm looking for the job, but do what is perfect to thy sight. Lord, I'm searching for the thing, but do what is perfect in heaven. When you do this, you are actually bridging the heaven with earth. There is a compromise, and that compromise is called long-suffering and patience. You have to wait for it. It takes time, correct? Takes time. Now, why James said that is book of Isaiah 26 verse 3. This is the last Sunday of the year, so you all give me grace today, okay? Chapter 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Because Isaiah said, he speaks very boldly. It was spoken about him. Let's see what he spoke. 26 verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. I just said that, but I didn't say the word peace. So, in all of this, everything leads to something called peace. Remember, God cannot perfect you when you are not in peace. Imagine the Lord comes to, you know, let's say I have muscle sprain in my hand. You know, the ancient treatment, they can actually release it by some techniques, right? The Lord comes to make my hand straight. I keep on punching, throw him away. Let me keep on making this thing. I tell him, I'm a grown-up adult. I can speak of myself. Don't you touch me. If I say that, do you really think God will come and heal me? How Jesus healed people? He asked, do you want to be healed? Do you want? He never forced, right? And what is peace? Lord, do whatever you want. I submit. That is peace. Submission is the sign of peace. I point a gun at you. You will also submit to me. But deep inside, you will think, if I have a machine gun, man, you are gone. But okay, I'm scared of you. Because now you have the gun, right? But outside, you look very peaceful. But inside, there is storm, earthquake, tsunami going on. Sweating. No peace. Peace is not result of oppression or suppression. Peace is a result of submission in love. Amen? And that is actually a sign of perfection. I am being perfected. Lord, you know, someone hated me very much, okay? But I was not troubled. You are being perfected. Good. It is more important than how many doctrines you know. Period. Now, he continues in Deuteronomy, because now we have to go back to Moses and Aaron, who unites wilderness with kingdoms. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. I love this, you know, the song of Moses, because he brings some beautiful elements that David copied from. Because David can refer to Moses, right? Yeah, his grandfather, Levitical grandfather. Now Moses sings a song and says, the Lord is a rock, his work is perfect, his ways are judgment, God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Why I'm reading this? It is the exact opposite of what King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is no just man on earth. There is no one who doeth righteous, and there is no one who sinneth not. And Moses says, let me show you exactly opposite. There is one. There is one. The only one. He said, his work is perfect. Now, I am unable to write the word work, because this is his work. To take all of us, he is working. To take you to this status of perfection. He is working, not you. The bride cannot perfect herself. The bride deny herself. But many places, bride perfect herself. Correct herself. Justify herself. Bride deny herself, decorate herself, know herself, lose herself. But perfection comes from far above. Now, let's complete the sermon series with redemption. So, let's turn your Bibles to book of Isaiah. Go back to him. Because Jesus quoted Isaiah before he began the ministry. Remember? He came from the wilderness, temptation. Then he came and drank the living water from the well of book of Isaiah. Because it was written by himself. He spoke it. The Spirit of the Lord, no? Rest upon me. Now, but Isaiah says, chapter 44. Now I am moving to redemption. So, what is there for us to read about glorious redemption? May the Lord guide us. 44 verse 22. It says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You see how precise the scripture is. Redemption starts with return. You must take the first step. God won't drag you. Step one. But do you see there is a difference between two different clouds? Thick cloud to blot out the transgressions. Cloud to forgive and blot out your sins. So there is a cloud and thick cloud. Hey, is it true? Sin and iniquity, are they same? If it is same, it won't be written as sins and iniquities. It is not the same. It's different level. I'll give you a good example. I'm standing in a garden. A gentle breeze hits me. Oh, nice. Breeze, right? The same breeze hits me at 230 km speed. I'm gone. It's also breeze, but it has a different name. Storm. Thick cloud and a cloud. The Lord says iniquities are more dangerous. He has to show His everlasting mercy to forgive you. But He knows your weakness. People sin. People fall. He knows our default state. The Lord knows. The Lord knows our weaknesses. He has forgiven us. We can't say that I have done something that God won't forgive. Do not despise the death of the cross. Don't. He is more powerful than your sin. But iniquity comes with cunningness, rebellion, well-established thought. The Lord talks about that. He says thick cloud and cloud. Two different things. It is like good work and perfect work. Something, a classification. So redemption, talking about the Lord's way of handling with your transgressions and sins. So the word I have to write here is transgressions and sins, because it is from the same group but two different category of employees. Now, from Isaiah, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. We go back to Apostle Paul, because the bride of Christ perfection can never ignore the letters of Apostle Paul, because that is where all the secrets are hidden. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, yes, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. So what I read in Isaiah 44 is exactly what Apostle Paul wrote, but he gave a solution to it. So the written was made possible by the blood, and all of this becomes covered under forgiveness. Amen? By whom? By Christ. Because now I'm focusing on redemption. Now redemption is what we are focusing on, right? Now let's turn our Bibles to Colossians 1:14. We will read verses quickly. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. Again it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So the word that we have to remember here is working, but in redemption, the important word that we should never forget is in whom. As simple as it may sound, my precious dear brethren, many places it is forgotten. People find shelter in the ministry, in the reputation of ministry, in the track record of ministry, than the one who gave that ministry. In whom is my redemption? Not with the minister, not with the ministry, not with the messenger, not with the message. In whom is my redemption? Christ himself. Is it simple? Look around. You can't see what I'm showing you today. You can't see in many places because it is forgotten. People think, what will I do if I lose this? The Lord is your provider. He is not lesser than anything else outside the world. It is very important, redemption. Now, it's continuing the same chapter, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, you see the link from here. The blood is what helping me to receive the peace. Every time you feel the peace of God when you pray, remember the blood of Christ on the cross. It is written, by his blood we receive peace. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. Again, in whom? By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. He is the covenant that bridges the earth and heaven. Amen? That is redemption. Not going to heaven. We sometimes think, Lord, I'm done with this painful, miserable life, Lord. Just take me home. I want to see the lion and lamb dwell together. I want to see the mansions rebuilt. It's all good. But what if we are waiting for another vacation? Everlasting, eternal vacation. Well, the desire should be, he died for me on cross. I want to know why. I want to go and fulfill the work with him forever and ever. Because he died for me on the cross, there must be a purpose reserved in heaven for me. I want to see it. I want to see him. There must be a real reason why you want to go to heaven. Not to escape pain, not to escape death. Amen? Now, verse 22 he says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This perfection blessed us to reach the state of his body. Why? From where he was taken? From the body of Adam. So, his body is our reminder about last Adam. Amen? If he is the last Adam, you are the last Eve. The last, the first and the last. Then, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 71 verse 23. Psalm chapter 71 verse 23. Sometimes we think God so loved the world, he gave his son, as if he decided to do it by himself. But we fail to see this, our responsibility. 71 verse 23, it says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. So what the Lord redeems? Soul. That is why the Bible says, do not be afraid of people who will destroy your body, but be afraid of him who will destroy your body and soul. Because he redeems your soul, not your flesh, not your cough, cold, fever attacked body. He redeems your soul. The flesh will disappear. But why he said this here is the next one, which is 79 verse 9. Now we will just finish the sermon today with book of Psalms. Because Psalm is all about praising the Lord. Same Psalm 79 verse 9 says, help us, O God, our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. That is why he was crucified. Because it is us who asked him. God of our salvation, brethren, this book of Psalm, Old Testament. David says, God of our salvation, help us, deliver us. But he is spirit. How can he intercede for you? He must be manifest in flesh. So he manifests in flesh. Not sufficient. He must die for my sin. So who invited him for crucifixion? You and me. We think about God invites us to marry as a lamb. But you and me, our sins invited him for the day of crucifixion. We called him to come and deliver us, to purge us from sins. He came and purged us from the sins. So what is the redemption? Atonement. Without that, forget about it. No atonement, no redemption. The Lord knows it. So he gave his only son. Amen. Because we people asked it. And who talked on behalf of you? David. David, servant? No, king. When a king requests, the Lord responds to the whole nation. Amen. That is how we are blessed. Psalm 111, verse 9. Chapter 111, verse 9. It says, if you look deeply, I am teaching Godhead in the name of perfection and redemption. Verse 9, he sent redemption. This is John 3:16. He sent redemption. He did not give redemption. So redemption was a person sent in flesh. He sent redemption. Because David asked for it. And to his people he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The most forgotten name of the Lord. I will write it in red. His name is holy and reverent. Brother, why are you writing this under the category of redemption? Remember this. Without the fear of God, we all can go back to our home and sleep. Because his name is holy and reverent. Without reverence and honor, there is no redemption, no matter whatever we know. No matter how much anointed we are, without reverence and honor, because his name is reverence and holy, without the fear of God, redemption is impossible. Lucifer fell because the reverence and honor was compromised by jealousy and some greedy. Now, this warning should continue in the same book, 130 verse 7. Chapter 130 verse 7. 130 verse 7 says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. This is called the another name of exceedingly great reward, plenteous redemption. Which means the children of God lack nothing. So what the Lord is talking about, your redemption is surplus. If you want to be saved, you can be saved from wherever you are. Kneel down, repent, cry, seek the Lord. The Lord will show you fellowship. There are many people wandering around presuming that you will never find a true fellowship in the places where you live. My precious dear brethren, the more you cry, the more vineyards will be planted. Not me saying that. The Lord said, pray to the Lord of harvest that he shall send the laborers to the field. If there is no prayer, he has no business. He's a businessman. If you want to get his, get his messengers, he should see some sort of a invitation. The Lord will build fellowship wherever we are. If there are two, you are the church of God. The Lord is your minister. The Lord provides. Amen. The Lord provides. We have to seek and do the best of the best of the best that we can. Abel is a type that we should never forget. Am I doing the best? With joy, peace, cheerful, willing hearts. If these four are compromised, don't do it. Don't do it. It won't be accepted. Now, book of Psalms says, plenteous redemption is with the Lord. Verse 8 says, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Israel is a nation. The Lord identified him by singularity because Jacob's name was changed to Israel. His iniquities, that is bride, her, my iniquity. The Lord redeeming me from all of this. 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Now this is what Matthew chapter 5 verse 48 was talking about. The young man was asking the Lord, Am I perfect? The Lord said, Sell what you have and come to me. You and your body, come to me. Because the Bible says, which are God's. Come to the Lord with what belongs to the Lord. Amen? Anything that doesn't belong to Him, He can't take it. Now, in this redemption plan, remember this, whatever I will take with me in redemption is my love for you, your love for me. It's my life, my relationship with the family of God. We will take all of it with Him. Not the worldly riches. Not our anger, not our past memories, not our pain, not our hurt. None can be carried to the promised land. I didn't say it. I'll continue in Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Chapter 2 verse 14. It says, Chapter 2 verse 14 says, Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem for us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. This verse is one of the most misunderstood verse by many. It is not given to all. The word of God is teaching us, also rebuking us. Amen? When we move away from the truth, isn't it? He deals with us in a way that we understand. And the Bible says, exhort and peculiar people. Why the word said it is peculiar people is in James 3:2. Why he said it is peculiar people is in James 3:2. And why it was written in such a manner is James. It's verse 1, it says, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. Am I right? Many things we offend all. We. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man. Read the word as perfect bride. Unable to bridle the whole body. So I talk about the blood, talk about the body, but here I write it, if I need to be redeemed, I must reach the status of often not in the word. Amen? Because often not in the word is the status of the bride is ready for going with the groom. And he says, Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which though they be so great, that is ark that I said, which is misused, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth. Who is guiding our life? Let's all stand. As we close, we all read this verse together. Matthew 1:21. Let us remember, we are not the worldly people aiming for worldly perfection and dramatic fairy tale redemption. We are the peculiar people of God who is rooted in the truth, who is looking for righteous perfection and glorious redemption. And for all of this to happen, whatever you see on this board, let us. One thing happened, that is Matthew 1
verse 21. It says, in order to fulfill all of this, Matthew 1 verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now this all was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted as "God is with us." God bless you all. Shalom. Let's close with a prayer. And may the Lord encourage us. Our Lord, our God, Emmanuel, God is with us, God is in us, God is for us, and God is guiding through us. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us to receive thy perfect will, for all of us to understand the righteous perfection, to be able to reach the state of glorious redemption. Bless us, Lord, that we all grow to attain the measure of Christ with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to be rooted in the Word of God. For we wrestle not the flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the wickedness, the spiritual wickedness of high places. But Lord, we are not here to fight the enemy, but we are here to serve the Lord. We are here to praise the Lord. We are here to worship the Lord. And we are here to glorify your name. Greater is he who is in us than who is in the world. If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and we bless the year that is to come to glorify your name. And we thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our heart for the year that was spent for the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.